Suppose having a reading from Psalm 95 from the prayer book and from the message. My tablet has decided not to play just at this moment in time. So I'm going to read it from the prayer book. It's said every morning in prayer book morning prayer. And it's known not as Psalm 95, but many of you who are old enough to remember the prayer book, we still do use the prayer book at All Saints. It's just the right size to prop the projector up. It's known as the Venite. Ah, Kirsty's got it. We'll read a verse each. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation.
Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saves us.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and show ourselves glad in him with psalms.
Let's march into his presence singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
And why? Because God is the best, high King over all the gods.
In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also.
In one hand he holds deep caves and caverns, in the other hand grasps the high mountains.
The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land.
He made ocean, he owns it, his hands sculpted earth.
Oh, come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker.
So come, let us worship, bow down before him, on your knees before God who made us.
For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Oh yes, he's our God, and we're the people he pastures, the flock he feeds.
Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness.
Drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks. Don't turn a deaf ear in the bitter uprising, as on the day of the wilderness test.
When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works.
When your ancestors turned and put me to the test.
40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, for they have not known my ways.
For 40 years they watched me at work among them, as over and over they tried my patience.
Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest.
And I was provoked. Oh, I was provoked. Can they keep their minds on God for 5 minutes? Do they simply refuse to walk down my road?
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The reason we're around tables this morning is we've got some work for you to do this morning, so we need some paper. If we've got any paper.
Those who are sitting at the sides want to come and join, and those who are lurking at the back, yes, you can come and join the tables closer to the front.
Okay, we might be writing on the backs of paper.
Okay. So if you want to come and join a table, whether you know people or not, you know, we're all family, nobody bites.
Right. Catherine, could you distribute some of those, please? Yes. There you are, you get one of those as well. Do feel free to write on the backs. Right. Oops, sorry. Okay. And we've got a couple of questions for you. if I can find them. Where's my bit of paper gone? Okay. The first question, there are no wrong answers. The first question is, what does worship mean for me? What does worship mean for me? And I'm not going to explain that anymore. I want you to respond as you would respond to that question. There are no right answers. It will be different for everyone sat around your table. Okay? You're asking what does worship mean to you, mean to me, yeah? Right, okay, so I'm going to go round and I'm just going to ask for one thing from every table because we haven't got time to reflect on all of that. What we'll do at the end, though, is we'll get all of these pieces of paper and we'll lay them across the front. Please come and have a look and see what other people have written. It may be something that is a revelation. Right, one thing you've written. Go on, which one? Joseph, pick one.
Praising God.
Praising God. Wonderful. Worship is praising God. One from this table, who's going to say?
Giving God his worth.
Giving God his worth. One from this table?
Singing and signing.
Singing and signing. This table?
To kiss.
To kiss. One of the translations of the word worship is to come towards, to kiss. Go on, one from here.
Caring about people.
Caring about people. Worship is caring. Babies and quavers and jammy dodgers. Wonderful. Worship sticky.
Hope.
Hope.
Church family.
Church family. There's lots of different things on here. What is worship? Right, okay. Another question for you. And perhaps you won't need to write this down. But I just want you to talk around the table. Who enjoys our worship most? Have a think. Who enjoys our worship most? Okay, I'm not going to put the ticky countdown-y timer thing on. Okay, I'm going to start at the back this time. Who enjoys our worship most?
God and Jesus.
God and Jesus. Is that what you said? Is that what you said? You said that. That's what you said. What did everyone else say? Everyone. That's interesting. Everyone. What did you say?
He said it was two-way.
Two-way. That's interesting. What did you say? Everybody. God. Jesus.
All of the saints.
All of the saints. Ooh. Right. Okay. Now, I need your help to wake him up. He was awake for the school harvest, so he might be easily wakeable. So are we ready? So it's wake up Oscar after three, yes? One, two, three. It's still not Christmas. No, it's still not Christmas. You've been out more times this year than ever, and it's still not Christmas. I know. I know. I know it's still not Christmas. It's not fair. Just hang on there. It will be Christmas. It will start to feel Christmassy soon, I promise. Is that okay? Right, so we're starting, as I said at the beginning, we're starting a series thinking about worship. And it's one of those words that sometimes can... No, not worming, worship. Do they not come from the same root? No. They sound like they do. Yeah, I know they sound like they do, but they don't. As I was pointing out on that table, one of the translations of worship is to come towards and to kiss. Don't worry, I'm not going to kiss you this morning. Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. Dog snogs are not my favourite. Right, worship. It's a word we use quite a lot. In fact, all of our service titles here have the word worship. We have morning worship and family morning worship with communion. We always use the word worship. So something about what happens here on a Sunday is worship. In some churches, you'll hear we're going to have a time of worship. I got told off by a bishop for saying that once, because he said that's a rather narrow definition of worship. I often get told off by bishops. We weren't going to say that bit. But it's true. Yeah, I know. Shush. Never worked with children and dumb animals. You know, I didn't mean it. Worship. Worship. It's a funny word. Does it translate as boring? Excuse me? What on earth do you mean by that? It can sometimes be very boring at church. I won't speak about All Saints, but I have to say, that's often true, isn't it? Sometimes can be a bit boring. And I sometimes wonder who actually worship is all about. Because actually over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the W questions. Now, some of you might know the W questions from school. It's a great way of thinking about a subject. You ask five questions that begin with a W. Can anyone guess what those questions are? Who? One each.
Who? What?
What? When?
Where?
When? When and? Why? Who, what, why, where, and when? And we're going to have an awful lot of W's over the next few weeks as we think about the who, the what, the why, the where, and the when of worship. Where's the blue box? What? What do you mean, where's the blue box? For the who of worship. No, it's not the doctor who of worship. It's the who of worship. And that's what we're thinking about today. Who do we worship? Now, actually, I've got a little video clip that might help us to think about who we worship.
Sing of your love on Sundays. Only sing of your love on Sundays. I will sing of your love on Sundays. Then this feeling is gone by Monday.
I surrender some. Jesus, I will give you little. I surrender.
I stand amazed at my hairdo. My stylist outdid herself. I lift my hands and see my nails. They match my.
Song. Sing with me, how great is this song? Man, I love to sing. Oh, yes, just to sing this song.
It's now a standard here. But I still sing it, though I don't mean it. And I just go.
Good. Did you enjoy that? Yeah, it's interesting. Did you hear the words? I really like that clip because sadly, I've been in places, maybe at times even here, when actually I could have sung that. Worship. Who is worship for? We all said God. But do you know what? That's so often not the way it works out. We get caught up. There's a wonderful story that a guy called Mike Pilavachi tells. He led a church called Soul Survivor for young people in Watford. And his worship leader was Matt Redman, the guy who wrote 10,000 Reasons. And Mike and Matt were very close. Matt was like Mike's son. And Mike was walking into church one Sunday and he overheard somebody in front of him who hadn't spotted he was behind him. And he said, oh no, this person in front of Mike. And his friend said, what's wrong? He said, oh, it's him on the drums. I hate worship when it's him on the drums. And Mike says, no, not you. And not Bob either. And Mike said, I just stopped dead. I realized, said, what we'd done is we created an atmosphere where there was fantastic music. But actually, we came for what we got out of it. Now, we get a lot out of coming to church. I know, because we probably wouldn't come if we didn't. But the idea is not that we get something out of it. The idea of worship, which you've written down on here. Adoration, giving God worth. Praising God. Kissing. They're about Him. On the back of that, I'll leave some of the other preachers to say more about that and what came from that. But on the back of that, Mike Pilavachi wrote a book about worship, which I haven't yet read fully, but I love the title. I have a range of books on my bookshelf, and the title alone is enough to sustain me. And this book is called For an Audience of One. Our worship is for an audience of one. You. Wrong answer. Me. Wrong answer. Right answer. Who is our worship for? Our worship is for God. But what about people who sing badly? You're not going to look around now, are you? Good. It wouldn't be safe. No, don't go there. Well, what about people who sing badly? Do you know what the Bible says? It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some people do that really, really well. Yeah. There's a lovely story I heard. And it was a story of a man who had a dream. And he was taken into the church that he led by an angel. And it was a Sunday morning. And everyone was singing. But he couldn't hear anything. And he said to the angel, why can't I hear anything? And the angel said, well, what you're hearing is what God hears when this church worships. He said, but I can't hear anything. Their lips are moving. He said, no, the angel said, no, listen. Listen really carefully. And he listened. And he could hear one little tiny voice. And right at the back of the church, there was a little girl. And she was joining in with every third word of the song that they were singing. And that was the only voice he could hear. And he said to the angel, why can't I hear all the other voices? And the angel said, because she's the only one worshipping Jesus. All the rest are just singing the songs like they sing them week in, week out. And they've forgotten who they're worshipping. We need to be worshipping God. The who of worship. Our worship is for an audience of one. I'm going to keep using that phrase again and again and again. We get so many blessings from worship. We're going to talk about all those sorts of things over the coming weeks. We get touched and moved in worship. But that's not the aim of our worship. It's a beautiful thing that God does. When we come to honor him, he pours out his Holy Spirit on us and fills us with grace and love and power and strength and all of those other wonderful things. But that's not the reason we worship. We don't stick a song in the slot and get a can of grace out of the bottom of the vending machine. We offer ourselves wholly to him. I surrender all, not I surrender some. That's who our worship is for an audience of one. Are we going to worship now? I think so. Now, the music group are busy wondering what our last hymn is going to be. Because on the sheets, it says, to be announced. Now, you have two clues now that will help you to work out what the last hymn is going to be. You've been given one, and you can see one. And our talk today will help you. Once you worked out the last hymn, its chorus is the title of our series on worship. And there's a small prize to the first person who can guess what our last hymn today is going to be.